We just read Hebrews 10:1-12, and I want to just go back now to the first verse and make some comments on each of these verses. This writer, brethren, he's writing to us about the superiority of Christ's offering. When he says once a year these offerings were made, I think he's referring there to the Day of Atonement, when once a year the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would make sacrifices. There were other sacrifices. There was the morning and the evening sacrifice. And then there were sacrifices that the Hebrews would bring to the temple. Just, I'm guessing when they felt condemned by sin, they'd bring a sacrifice, make an offering. But I know there was that yearly sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, and then there were the morning and evening sacrifices. Many, many, many animals were killed and at that temple brought and sacrificed. Let me go back to verse 1 now. For the law. And here he's talking about the ceremonial law of sacrifices. Not the moral law, but the ceremonial law. It had, it says here, a shadow is not the real thing, is it? You stand outside on a sunny day, you see your shadow. You walk near a tree, you're going to get in the shade. You're going to get in the shadow of that tree. The shadow is not the thing itself, but it's a pattern of the thing. It's a sign of the thing. And he says the law had a shadow of, and I love this, good things to come. That's a promise of good things. It's an indication that something better is coming. In one place in the scriptures, it says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law pointed to Christ. The law taught us about Christ and teaches us about Christ. I like to study these sacrifices no longer offered, but I like to see what they were in their day and what they pointed to, because they pointed to Christ Jesus. This law was a shadow of good things to come. Oh, brethren, what good things were to come after the law? God, from a good God who had good thoughts of us, and every good gift comes from Him, our wonderful, gracious, good God. And the writer says the law was a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, of course. That law can never, it says, can never, with those sacrifices which were offered under that law, which were offered year by year, continually, that law could never make the comers thereunto perfect. Do you know what, brethren? You are perfect today before God. If you're a child of God, born again of the Spirit of God, chosen of God, regenerated, you are perfect before God. A just and holy God who does not and cannot and will not tolerate sin, wrongdoing, shortcomings. He won't tolerate it. He looks at you and me who are, I live shortcoming. I fall short all the time. I'm a sinful man, but He looks at me, brethren, through the offering of Christ Jesus as perfect before Him. And all the blood of bulls and goats ever offered, if they were offered for Mike Devane, me personally, would not, God would, if he was looking at me through that filter, brethren, he'd see a lost, doomed sinner. But he looks at me, brethren, not through those yearly sacrifices, because they can't make me perfect, brethren. And this writer says, if they could, once they're offered, he poses a question. Would they not then have ceased to be offered? The fact, brethren, that they were offered continually demonstrates that they were insufficient. They fell short. If they could make us perfect, brethren, they would have ceased to have been offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. I read in the commentary of John Gill, he said that what would happen is, on that Day of Atonement, that animal would be brought in by the people, sacrificed by the priest, and that sacrifice offered, it was like that person said, okay, now for the last year, the sins that I've committed, they're atoned for, in the sense that I've gotten a little relief for a while, but they're not permanently gone. They're not gone. I've not been washed or cleansed of them. We use an expression in our society when we're talking about putting something off. I hear it used a lot regard government and government spending in particular. They say we kick the can on down the road a little ways. We just put it off for a little while. And I think of that when I'm thinking about that yearly sacrifice. We've just put it off for a little while. The reckoning of that sin. We kick the can on down the road a ways. The thing is, you come up on the can again. If you keep going, if you keep living, you go, there it is again. We got to deal with it. The worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. It was in the conscience of the sinner that sin was still there, even though that offering was made. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse 3. Yeah, that's right. We're reminded. They were reminded. And verse 4. For, because that remembrance is there every year, because, for, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Brethren, that's Hebrews 10:4. And I've said to you before, 10:4. You know, if you're talking on a public service radio, that means acknowledge. That means I got your communication. Your message is received. And that's the way I remember where this verse is in the Bible. 10:4. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Acknowledge. Got it. That's right. No matter how many, no matter your attitude when you come to that temple and bring that animal, no matter what's on your mind, no matter how sorry you are for those sins and how repentant in this day right here, brethren, that animal is not going to take away your sin. It's not possible. Now, the writer, brethren, begins to talk about Jesus. And he says, wherefore? That word there, that wherefore there, brethren, is there because we got a problem here that can't be solved the way we're doing things. Wherefore? We're going to do something different. The thought changes. When he cometh into the world... Who came into the world, brethren? Who's he talking about here? Christ Jesus. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. You're not pleased, O God, with the sacrifice and offering under the ceremonial law. It's not getting the job done. What's going to get the job done? But a body hast thou prepared me. Who's the me? Jesus. Who took on flesh? Who was made flesh and dwelt among us? Who in the fullness of time came? Jesus. Who in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world sat at that table? They didn't sit around a table, but it's the way I can envision it. And talked about the problem and what they were going to do about it. They didn't wring their hands. God knew what he was going to do. The Father spoke. The Son replied. The Spirit with them both complied. Grace moved the cause for saving man. And wisdom drew the noble plan. Here's the noble plan, brethren. Jesus says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Doesn't get the job done. Now God designed that. God gave that. He gave that law of the ceremonial law. He gave it. So it's not to say that he wasn't pleased with it because it was his design, but he wasn't pleased with it in that it didn't cure the sin debt problem. Then said I, lo, I come. Then there's a parenthetical. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. That book, brethren, is the Word of God. It's all the Word of God. Jesus says, that speaks of me. The Old Testament speaks of the coming of the Messiah. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And Jesus said that, didn't he, brethren? He says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now the writer of Hebrews says this, above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. The writer says, when he said those things, what he's doing is, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Ceremonial law is gone. No longer of use. But the second has come. That's the second Adam from above. That's Jesus has come. Verse 10, by the will of God, by the working of God, we are sanctified, set apart for a holy purpose, made holy. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. There's the body. It's a body God gave him. God in a body. One Christmas, I remember preaching here, the title of the lesson was God in a body, in a human body. That's Jesus. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Brethren, know that. Know that. Nothing else sanctifies you before God. Nothing else makes you holy before God. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the body of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Once is the next word. Once. Day of Atonement every year came around. Sacrifice. Time to sacrifice again. Next year, Day of Atonement, time to sacrifice again. Once, Christ's offering once, for all, for all. One time, for all. When I was a boy, we'd get mad at somebody, our little friends, and we'd say, we're going to settle this once for all. Big talk, wasn't it, for little boys. Once and for all. You ever use that term? Once for all. We throw it around. But brethren, in the Word of God, get it. Jesus, the body of Jesus Christ, offered once for all of His people, every single one of them, not one shall perish or be lost. His blood has bought them, dear they cost. Once for all, every one of them, not one shall be lost. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, says Jesus, for all and for all time. Not going to be another offering of Jesus' body. No need for it. It's done. And he illustrates this. He emphasizes this in the next verse. He says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices over and over again, which can never take away sin. No matter how often, no matter how many, they can never take away sins. But this man, what a contrast. See how much better? But this man, that's the man Christ Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He says it again in chapter 1, we ended last week with Jesus, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's chapter 1, verse 3. He says it in very similar words, same thing, verse 12, chapter 10. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Come and sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool, God says to Jesus. Sit on my right hand right here. I want to close with one verse here. Wherefore, I beseech you, therefore, because, brethren, of what Jesus has done, I want to quote one verse to you, because of what he's done, I beseech ye, therefore, I urge you, therefore, that ye present your bodies. We talked about Jesus' body, didn't we? We talked about God giving him a body. He became flesh and dwelled among us. He offered that body. And we read a little bit about this morning in Bible study, about mortifying the flesh, crucifying the flesh. I am crucified with Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your body. Christ died on the cross, a literal, natural death. He died on that cross. The scriptures, Paul the Apostle urges us by the inspiration of God that we die, but not necessarily a natural death. That we die to the things of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Present your body a living sacrifice, right? A sacrifice, an offering to God. You present yourself an offering to God, a living sacrifice. You do that daily, and that works. Not to get you eternal salvation or get you to heaven, but to get you in a closeness with God, a fellowship with God, the kingdom of heaven, the spiritual kingdom of God, where there are blessings of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what helps me do that? Reading this right here about what Jesus did for me, about how short, how insufficient, how ineffective those animal sacrifices were, and Jesus coming and presenting his body, a dead sacrifice. It says in Hebrews, he offered himself without spot unto God. He offered himself up, his body. And God raised him up. Thank God for that. But you and I, brethren, we don't have to die naturally. We don't have to. But we ought to, brethren, die to the things of the flesh. If you'll think back on your own experience, when you've done that, think about what happened. You felt good. You felt blessed. You felt close to Christ. God blessed you. He walked with you. He held you up. And he helped you. He gave you joy unspeakable. He gave you pleasure that the world can't give you when you did that. So, brethren, a reminder to you and to me to do that. God in heaven, I pray that you'll bless us to do that. We thank you for the sacrifice of Christ Jesus on the cross. We thank you that when the ceremonial law was so short, it did teach us about Christ. It points us to Christ. It educates us about Christ. But we thank you when that was that failing of the law, O God, that Christ came to redeem us, to save us from our sins. His body that you gave him, he gave back to you. He gave it up in death. And we thank you for that. We thank you for raising him up. We thank you, O God, that we have the opportunity to present our bodies living sacrifices. May we do it by getting encouragement from your word and thinking about what Christ has done for us, O God. Thank you for the blessings you give us of obedience. Oh God, may we do it. May we live in obedience to you, crucifying the flesh daily. Thank you for it. Thank you for Christ Jesus' sacrifice. In his name we pray, that name above every name. Amen.